The last statistic I have is the first average age of exposure to pornography is 11. However, we can say that as soon as we put a smartphone into a person's hands, then they have access to that. And a lot of parents will say, oh, you know, my kids, that won't happen with them. And we're really careful. But all they need to do is go to school and be on the playground and another kid say, hey, look at this. And that child may not consciously want to see that image, and bam, that very strong, provocative image now is in their minds. And we know that any kind of strong sexual image is going to produce a dopamine drop in the brain, meaning dopamine is dropping in the brain, so an increase in the dopamine level. And so that's going to cause a feeling of excitement and elation, excitation. And so consciously or unconsciously, that person is going to say, hey, you know, I'm kind of curious about that. Maybe I want to seek out more images like that. And so I would say that the vast majority of clients that I see that have sex addiction, they have been exposed to some sort of pornographic content very early in life. They learn to rely on that to regulate moods, to mitigate stress. And so now at a very young age, they're using this piece to work with their emotions, to work with distress, and that just doesn't stop.
What's the physiology and the biology of sex addiction? Because I have heard a lot of people dismiss it as just, it's a behavioral thing, and
sure,
it's just an excuse to, right, you know, cheat on your partner. But as a therapist, yeah, and somebody who's worked with people, I mean, what's the physiological, the biological reality, yeah, of someone with a sex addiction?
Sure. And yes, sex addiction is not in our diagnostic manual yet. So it's not considered a mental health disorder yet. However, what we're learning is that with behavioral addiction, such as disordered eating, so bulimia, anorexia, gambling disorders, gambling addiction, that the same thing happens is with chemical addictions. So we know that with drug addiction, alcohol addiction, the person starts using something to regulate or help with mood, and whether that's consciously or unconsciously, there are these neurotransmitters that dump in the brain and switch how they feel. And so behavioral addictions, we're finding there's no difference. The MRIs are coming out with the same data, with the same information.
Do you see a direct correlation between how ubiquitous pornography is and how widely available it is with sex addiction? I mean, is there an actual rise in sex addiction, or is it that we're just talking about it more?
So when the internet came online, in the field, we saw just a spike in people saying, whoa, you know, I'm now not able to control how much I view pornography. And so that was a real turning point for our society, for our culture.
What are the implications on an interpersonal level for people who have this, if they're in a relationship?
So in the sex addiction field, we were treating sex addiction. And I think we found a really good protocol for that, a really good treatment protocol. And so the partners, the wives, girlfriends, spouses were coming in. It was mainly, so it's about 80-20, 80% of people with sex addiction who are being treated are men, 20% women. So with heterosexual couples, when they were coming in, the partners were being told, well, you know, you're with a sex addict. So, you know, what's your problem? You know, what's your symptomology? What's your psychological distress or problems? And so the women were just flying out of therapy. They just couldn't tolerate that kind of questioning. And so what we found probably about 5 to 6 years ago is that the women are experiencing complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So this isn't just, I'm really upset because I've been lied to and he has this secret life. Because it's sex addiction and sex is so intimate and so personal, that the women now are really, really impacted. And the length of time it takes for them to recover is huge. It's up to 2 years before we can really get their nervous systems calmed down. The fastest I've seen is probably 8 months from the time of discovery. So the impact this is happening, that this is having on relationships is huge and critical. And when someone is having a secret life, especially with, and there's a difference between having an affair and then having a sex addiction. So I just want to say there is a distinction in that. So when someone is active in their sex addiction, they compartmentalize their life. So they have their life with their wife and with work and that kind of thing. And then they have what I call going to the dark side, which is where they act out in their addiction sexually. And that could be virtually, that could be with other people. I was very curious when I first started treating partners of sex addicts, whether the trauma would be the same if it was if the husband had been acting out actually physically or virtually. And what I've found and continue to find is there's no difference in the trauma, none, that these women experience the physical, existential, emotional betrayal the same. That's something that's significant.